The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
Welcome aboard, everybody, to our 10th episode of Boating with Tetzlaff Yachts and Wolf Marine. I am Eric Wolf. I am the owner and operator of Wolf Marine, which is located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. In my biased opinion, I believe I have the nicest marina on the St. Croix, so come join us if you have a boat. And to my port side here, I have John Tetzlaff. John?
Hello, everybody. Yeah, our 10th show. It's hard to believe. And, you know, the intro music there is Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. I just wanted to say that because I'm not sure if it's ever been said on KLBB. So there I said it. KLBB, Led Zeppelin, and Kashmir. But, hey, that first sentence in the song, "Let that sun beat down upon your face." I think that's what we all want to hear with, of course, skin suntan lotion on that face. But anyway, just wanted to bring that up. John Tetzlaff, Tetzlaff Yacht Sales, 575 Main Street North, and that's in Stillwater. And you can go to TetzlaffYachtSales.com or you can check us out on our Facebook page.
And today we have a very special guest. It's Dr. Peter Sorensen. He's from the University of Minnesota, Professor, Department of Fisheries, Wildlife, and Conservation Biology. Welcome on, Peter. We really enjoyed having you here. We're going to probably talk a little bit today about the Asian carp that are encroaching on our St. Croix River. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
A pleasure, of course, and thank you for having me. A little bit about it. The Asian carp, the carp from Asia, which there are two main species, the bighead and silver carp, I've got quite a history in the U.S. They were actually introduced to Arkansas, believe it or not, in the 70s on purpose. And there's history behind that, too. And they've been spreading north ever since, where basically Minnesota's a little bubble right now. We're surrounded by carp to our east, west, and south. People don't realize that, but we're just kind of like hanging out up here. And they're moving north from Iowa right now. They're down around Lock and Dam 14 or 15.
Okay. What kind of threat do they pose to our river system here?
Well, that's a great question. Very fundamental threat. They basically feed at the very base of the food chain. They eat a lot of plankton, and they kind of impact the food chain. So there's echoing and magnifying effects on all the species in the river through this food chain thing. And then, of course, what they're famous for is this jumping, and that would be really tragic to have a lot of large, jumping, dangerous fish in any river, especially the beautiful St. Croix, frankly.
Well, in most of the video, I think, that we've all probably mm-hmm. have seen at one point in time, I believe most of that's from, like, the Illinois River. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Illinois, most of it's from down there, Peoria area. It's sort of, that's the sort of, they've done exceptionally well in that area, so the very high densities, and people bow hunt them and spearfish them and drive around with gladiator suits and stuff like that. They're very large numbers in the Illinois River, but it's pretty bad in other places too. St. James in South Dakota, Missouri River, all the way down actually to New Orleans, or even going to the Gulf of Mexico. It's important to understand that they're heading our way, and they're bust about everywhere other than Pennsylvania, Kentucky. We're very lucky they're not here yet.
And why are they maybe more prevalent in those areas versus up here?
Great question. Of course, you don't really know. You can't do it. You know, I'm a scientist, so I can't say with certainty. I can't give you a p-value or something like that.
You'd be the man if you could.
Yeah, I know I would. But I can tell you there's sort of two things. One is probably it's got something to do with the fact that Minnesota's rivers are especially well conserved and preserved. We have very healthy ecosystems up here still, and that probably is creating what we call level of biotic resistance. They're more predatory fish than versus down in channelized Illinois River. That's one reason. But probably equally important is the fact, at least my research group believes, That we have very substantial lock and dam systems. We just happen to have them up in this area of the river because of how the river flows, that we think are significant deterrents to their slowing down their passage upstream.
Has there been any means of stopping these things?
Good question. So the government's investing many, there's sort of two lines, maybe several lines. The government, it's hard to say. They're attempting to fish them down the Illinois River right now, spending several million dollars just trying to, and they, by stopping what they seem to have done, it's hard to say, is they maybe have stalled out the invasion, but they're investing enormous sums. And of course, the carp are still there in very high numbers. They're just not moving forward anymore. That's one way that's actually being implemented. They're also looking at some various poisons, and my research group, as you may know, has been looking at the possibility that not only are these locks and dam systems already impeding their movement, as it probably is native fish, but that these systems, how they're operated, could be enhanced to significantly deter them even more.
Is there any other operations? Now, I've heard, you know, about the bubbling systems and noises and stuff like that. What's your opinion on them?
We think it's very promising, actually. The lab work strongly suggests that you don't know. I mean, I've been in this business a long time. Until you go in the river and actually test something, you know, it's a big jump from a small, even a big lab tank to the open river. But our work and other work suggests the sounds and the bubbles in the lab are having very effective and could be deployed potentially in the locks. Our work also, statistical modeling suggests that the flow regimes around these locks and dams could potentially be modified in ways that would further deter the movement upstream of these fish, which would be quite remarkable because it's important. The context here is that they arrived in Arkansas 40 years ago, and we're still only get a relatively small number of them up here. It's so hard for them to get through already, so any additional effort might have really enormous payoffs, if that makes some sense. This is not inevitable, I don't believe.
Are there any predatory fish out there, like, say, a muskie? Is that something? I know there's not a lot of them out there, but is that something that could take them out?
Maybe. You know, the bigger potential, and we worked on a common carp for many years, and this is it makes sense, I think, but, you know, Lord knows it took us about 10 years to figure it out, is to look at fish that eat very small things, that eat eggs and larvae, because, for instance, we've found that bluegill sunfish can eat several billions of eggs of common carp in lakes if there are enough of them present, and there often are if they're not overfished. Same thing, it's a lot easier to eat eggs of Asian carp than it is to eat like a 20, you know, 40-pound Asian carp itself. So that is probably the way to kind of control these things. It's not, well, like I said, it took us, well, basically 10 years to figure out that's the way to go at it, which is, you know, really good because that means a healthy ecosystem and food chain with lots of predatory fish of all sizes is a really good approach, and it's very reasonable and, frankly, possibly manageable. And that could be deployed here, too, and we've been suggesting that at certain stretches below Lake Pepin, there might be some way of at least managing predators so that they could further impact these carp.
And so are they, is anybody then establishing a bigger population of, say, the sunfish or whatever?
I'm not aware that anybody's doing that work right now. There's been some lab studies. The issue is really to our south, and this is the irony, I guess. Like everything, once you got them, you got them. It's like head lice or something, you know, it's like too late. And until you do, you don't know what you're going to get. So in Illinois, this predator control thing, people are looking at it, but it's really kind of too late down there.
Sure.
So it's important for us to kind of, I believe, maybe speaking more as a citizen here, to appreciate what we have and value it and work to protect that.
And then in every ecosystem, you have natural predators. In the native land of where these Asian carp come from, what are their regular predators?
That's a great question, really great question. People have looked. ironically, and this is the case with a lot of invasive species, the Chinese have done so much damage to their rivers with overfishing and pollution, there are hardly any Asian carp left in their rivers. So we don't know what there might have been to control them when things were normal, probably. But I can tell you there were some very interesting creatures in the rivers, things like river dolphins that might have actually been quite effective, very large predators, but they're long gone.
In China?
In China, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, and the reproduction of these things, they must be really good at reproducing. I mean, the numbers that you see in some of these videos in relatively short period of time that they've been here, I've read in one area that one big head carp can produce 2 million eggs. Is that a safe statement?
Yeah, it's on that. It's maybe not 2 million. I think it's more like hundreds of thousands. But, you know, most fish are pretty good at it. I mean, the issue is that there's nothing to control. Apparently, conditions are right so that once they do reproduce, which fortunately it's very important to understand, it has not happened to the best of our knowledge in Minnesota yet. So it's not too late. But, once you have a fair number of young surviving, then it's... which they do, then you do pretty well. But they are vulnerable because the silver carp require 10 to 50 river miles of open water for the eggs to drift down. So at that point, you see, predators could easily pick them off.
Sure.
And these are things that we could work on in Minnesota, which would be good for fishing, too. This is one of the things I believe in.
Yeah, I've got to believe. Well, we already know that we, as humans, have the ability to annihilate certain species. Now, I have to believe that somewhere along the line, we should be able to annihilate these Asian carp somehow.
Well, I hear that. You know, certainly that's possible. The Chinese have done it. But it's going to cost a great deal to do that. And when you see fish getting annihilated, it's usually because they have great value. Whether that's tuna or walleye maybe or something like that, you know, where you're paying dollars per pound. Asian carp, the price is 10 cents per pound.
I was going to ask real quick before we run out of time, what do they taste like?
They're not bad.
Better than the regular carp?
Yeah, I'd say so. A nicer, whiter meat. Definitely better than regular carp.
I've read that the silver carp is said to taste like cod or a cross between cod and scallops and crab meat.
Well,
take your choice. So, they're fine. Jeez, I don't know.
I've seen them on the menus.
Nevertheless. And I think we're probably coming to the end of our first half of the show here. Again, I am Eric Wolf. I am co-owner operator of Wolf Marine in Stillwater here, located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96.
And John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com, downtown Stillwater, 575 Main Street North, TetzloffYachtSales.com.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Good afternoon, I should say good morning again on our second part of boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com, 575 Main Street North.
And don't forget me, Eric Wolf, Wolf Marine, 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95, 96. You can reach me at area code 651-439-2341, wolfmarine.net.
And we're still with Peter Sorensen. Going to have some more questions for him. And a real quick question I'm going to ask is, what can the general boating public do, if anything, to assist with monitoring or whatever on this issue?
Well, great question. I think it's wonderful you've asked that question. In terms of monitoring, you'd have to talk with the DNR or something about that. They are very difficult fish to monitor, and the challenge here is we're looking for very few at the present time, which makes it even more difficult. But I do think a very valuable thing people can do is just stay active and engaged and talk with politicians and DNR officials about conserving the waters and how important they are, and keep bringing this up. I mean, our waters are the heart of the state. They're the value of the state. And I really think we kind of get a little complacent about it. And maybe take some trips down to Iowa and see what could happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes that when you've seen it, it really changes you. And you can tell when people have seen it and when they haven't.
Yeah, it'd be very nice to be as proactive as we can to keep them out of Minnesota. I'm sure a lot of people have seen those videos and probably are very concerning, I would say, especially to a fisher guy or person that's out there in a lower, smaller boat. Those things can jump right in there and do all kinds of damage.
All the more reason to enjoy our beautiful St. Croix up here. Yet we don't have any reproductive Asian carp up here that we're aware of, so... be thankful that we have a great river system up here and people like Peter Sorensen here that are helping to keep it that way.
Dang right.
I have a couple questions. I know we've talked about the sound barriers and that. Mm-hmm. I know they're trying real hard also to keep them out of the Great Lakes. And
right.
I know that they've tried this electrical fish mm-hmm. barrier up on the sanitary canal.
Yep.
Opinion on that?
Well, I guess the bottom line is it seems to be working right now. I mean, there are no they only caught, I think, one dead one in the Great Lakes. They haven't got through so far. I mean, it's not clear how long this will work or exactly why it's working. The electrical barrier, by the way, I've heard numbers of many millions. It costs something like $30 million to build, and it costs millions of dollars a year to run it electrically.
Wow.
It's not something that's possible in Minnesota. They should just... But it seems to have worked in the Great Lakes, and I guess that would be something getting back. I think it's very important for people to be engaged with the social systems and political systems to keep politicians aware of the real threat and what we have to lose. Because as you may know, I mean, almost 90% of all federal funding, such as it is right now, 95% goes to, I think, the Upper Mississippi gets $250,000, and there's tens of millions going towards the Great Lakes, you know, to stop the Asian carp from going that way. And frankly, I think we have more to lose over here.
Yeah.
And that's not really registering in political circles the way it should, because prevention's a harder sell, but it's a more important sell.
And what everyone has to remember is that everything in the upper Midwest is linked. I mean, all the rivers, all the lakes, everything is linked one way or another. We lose the fight on this, we could be in big trouble, not only for our river systems, but also the lakes and streams around. I do have one other thing, and I really struggle with this. Me being a boater, I know one of the things that we're trying to do now to stop the spread is we have shut down the upper St. Anthony Falls lock and dam. Me being a boater, I struggle with that. Anytime we shut some type of a recreational, industrial part of the river down, I really struggle with it. I know it's for the greater good, but there again, it takes a part of my recreational boating, and it narrows down what I can do for recreational boating. You think someday, if we can control these things, they'd open that up again?
Well, actually, if the Corps is able to maintain it, because it's pricey maintaining those things even when they're shut, I think, you know, I'm actually fairly optimistic. I think we have tools now that very well maybe could spare Minnesota for decades to come, and that could be deployed somewhere like that, frankly. So, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic. I think what's important is just because we don't have huge numbers in Minnesota yet that we take our foot off the gas and get complacent about it, because believe me, they're in Iowa.
Okay. All right. Now, where can the general public go online? I'm sure you get some kind of a website they can check into.
Oh, I guess there's not a lot online. I wish I could say. Probably the website for the Minnesota Aquatic Invasive Species Center would have some information on this. I hesitate to say it, but if they email me, I'll do my best to respond. We're getting some very promising publications out now and talking with folks about getting some trials in the river. I don't think we have much to lose, but
how do they contact you if they want to? I don't know if you want to give out that information.
You can go to the university website. my name's right there. I'm a public servant. I'm happy to talk with people. I actually think, you know, I may occasionally have a good idea, and I have a lot of bad ones. But if anything's going to happen, it's not going to be me building it personally in the river. It's going to take, you know, community support and understanding.
And so, funding.
Funding
is the big thing.
And consistent funding. And that's very important right now, because just things are in great turmoil in the world. And
for sure.
In Minnesota, we can do it still. So we can.
And the great University of Minnesota is a place that we all can hope to do it. If there's anybody out there that can do it, it's the U of M.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Do our best. I think we can.
I think we can also.
Super. Well, we really appreciate you coming in, Peter.
My pleasure.
It went really fast, and I think it was fantastic information. Maybe we'd have you back later in the summer for any updates.
Oh, happily. Sure.
Super. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Everything might be frozen right now, but if you are already thinking of getting out on the water in your new boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you're looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else. And with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, the Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will help you find the best boat for you, and because my name is the name on the sign, I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com.
Thank you out to Peter Sorensen, Dr. Peter Sorensen. Very educational, a lot of good information there. And again, you know, if you're really concerned about something like this, the big thing is they need the funding. That's where it all comes from. If you want to stop these things, we have to keep them funded. Get a hold of your representatives and let them know that you want them to support and fund the system to keep the Asian carp out of the St. Croix and do what they can to stop them from encroaching on us.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to bring up something that's not really related to boating, but if you think about it, if it wasn't for this group of individuals, we might not be able to boat. And what I'm talking about are our veterans. I happen to be a volunteer for the Yellow Ribbon in Washington County here, and what we do is we help veterans and their families. Say if the veteran's overseas, or maybe it's a retired veteran and they need some help around the house. You know, anything they need. You know, they need a drive to the VA or something like that. We're gonna get out there and we're gonna help them. And again, it's not really a lot to do with boating, but I wanted to talk about the Veterans Memorial that's being planned for Lake St. Croix Beach. I don't know if you've heard of that yet. Or
I have not, but I'm sure I will here.
You're gonna. Anyway, what we want to do is we're going to build a memorial down there, and it's been started already with some flagpoles and some benches and things like that. But what we want to do is get that thing up and running. We want to get the full site done here soon, but it takes funds. And how it's kind of set up is there's going to be pavers and bricks with veterans' names and information on it. And for each stone, it costs $25. And, you know, they can be deceased, they can be living, and, you know, we can put their information there. They just need to provide the information showing that they were in service. But what we're looking to do is to get some money built up so we can continue with getting this Veterans Memorial done. And this is a separate entity from the Yellow Ribbon, but we're definitely going to help them out in putting this thing together and getting it done so we can go down there and enjoy a real nice sight and honor our great veterans for our great country.
And it's a good thing that we have to – something good that we have to do for these people. For the stones now, this is for local people that are in that area that are veterans, if I remember right.
Yeah, we like to, you know, we like to keep, well, we don't have to keep it Washington County. If you live in Washington County and your dad or your mom or somebody is out of the county, out of the state even, or, but we're from around here, you know, come on, you know, give us a call and we can definitely get that set up. The more the merrier.
And I'm from Somerset, and I frequent New Richmond quite often. They have the same basic thing. It's a veterans memorial with the pavers. It's a great little area, great little park-type setting, and to be perfectly honest with you, I know a few people that have their pavers there. I just lost my neighbor, who was a Vietnam vet, on a week ago from last Sunday, and he happens to have a brick there. So, you know, it's kind of a nice little memorial, a place to go and reflect on him, and I think in the future here for others also, it'll be a nice place to go and say, hey, there's my dad, or hey, there's my neighbor. And in my case, it was my neighbor, Larry. I have to thank you for the service.
Exactly.
And your family. God bless you all.
That's right. And, you know, I'm going to get my dad down there. He was a World War II veteran, and, you know, he passed away in 2008, but his name is going to live on at that memorial because we're going to get him a brick down there. So, again, it doesn't really have a lot to do with boating, but if you think about it, it's all about boating because if it's not for these veterans, these males and female soldiers that have been out there taking care of business for the good old United States of America, there may not be any boating to be had.
Yeah, then there might not be much of anything to be had. All our freedoms, we have to thank a veteran for that.
Oh, definitely.
You know, always thank the veterans. Good thing for them to keep us free.
So anytime you see a veteran, go up there and shake their hand. I definitely try to do that. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to contact, you can give me a call. You can give me an email, and I can get you in touch with the right folks. If you want to donate some money, you want to get some information on getting the brick, you can call the St. Croix, Lake St. Croix Beach, the mayor's office down there, Tom McCarthy. He is the person that's actually, it was kind of his brainchild, and it's kind of his baby. He's the one that kind of started it out, and he's in charge of getting this thing together. So if you wanted to contact me, I can get you in touch with the folks that you need to, or you can just go right to St. Croix, Lake St. Croix Beach, and talk to Tom McCarthy or someone in the office there to get that information going.
And we as individuals, we can sponsor a paver?
Correct. You can sponsor a paver. In fact, we had one gentleman that bought, I think, 100 of them already, and he's donating them. And so, yeah, anything can be done.
Oh, that's a great great deal. 100 pavers. That's something.
Yeah,
that's miraculous.
Well, yeah, they deserve it. That's
yes, they
sure.
do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hopefully that works out. Some people want to do that, and I just wanted to mention real quick. I've got some questions from some buyers. They were looking for some aft cabin boats, and saying that they were kind of hard to find. And you know, I've got a whole bunch of them, and I'm just going to name them off real quick. I've got a Carver 366. It's a 2003 Carver motor yacht. I've got a 95 44-foot Carver. I've got a 39-foot Carver 1995. I've got a 392 Silverton. It's a 2001. I've got a 396 Carver. That's also a 2001. I've got a 40-foot Meridian. That's a 40-footer. And that's a very nice, they're all nice boats. And then I've got a 466 Carver. It's a 2004. So if you're looking for that aft cabin, I've definitely got the aft cabins. So yeah, give us a call.
And if you're looking for a place to keep it, I definitely have room for all of them.
Oh yeah.
Bring them down. We'd love to have you. Again, at Wolf Marine, we're 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95, 96. Check us out on the web. wolfmarine.net.
And I am John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, 575 Main Street North. And you can contact us at 651-214-9463 or TetzloffYachtSales.com. Or you can see us on the Facebook page, Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.